Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, beginning in verse 21. "Yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision." Heavenly Father, we worship you. We praise you. We magnify your holy name. Lord, help us today as we study your word. Give us understanding, and as the man said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And in that precious name, we pray. Amen. I know that I'm being repetitive, but I'd like to take you again to chapter 2 of this book. Daniel chapter 2. Nebuchadnezzar has a vision, and he's troubled by it, and he asks for an interpretation. The prophet Daniel is called, and he tells the king the vision, for he had forgotten it, and the interpretation. Nebuchadnezzar had seen a great image. You may think of it as a statue of a soldier or something. But the interpretation went like this. Daniel pointed his finger at the king and said, "Thou art this head of gold." And we understand that this vision and this statue that's in the vision is a prophetic timeline. The clock, if you will, started ticking during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And we know from the interpretation and from history that that head of gold did not last, that the kingdom of Babylon was overthrown, and the Medes and the Persians came next. They were the breast and arms of silver. Then the Grecian Empire, the belly and thighs of brass. And then the Roman Empire, the legs of iron. And finally, at the end of time, the feet part iron and part clay. That symbolizes the kingdom of the Antichrist. We saw in chapter 7 that Daniel the prophet had a vision himself. And the fourth beast, again in Daniel chapter 7, verse 7, he says, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that had gone before it, and it had 10 horns." Those 10 horns, another symbol, speaking of the kingdom of the Antichrist. Again, the feet and 10 toes, part iron and part clay, the fourth beast that had 10 horns. Later in this chapter, Daniel chapter 7, the interpretation is given. In verse 23, Thus he said, The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are the ten kings that shall arise. And then it begins to talk about the Antichrist. And another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and shall subdue three kings. And now we come to chapter 9 in our studies. Daniel begins to pray and intercede for his people, asking God to have mercy, that the Lord would bring him and his people back to Jerusalem. And as he was praying and repenting, he had another visitor, Gabriel, the Archangel Gabriel, or whatever his exact title was, but an angelic visitor from heaven, sent by God to give him understanding. And again, this angel Gabriel was sent in response to his prayer of repentance and supplication. The book of Daniel, to a great degree, is a historical book. It gives the historical record of events that transpired in the history of Israel. But it's also a prophetic book, as should be obvious. But I want to again draw your attention to one verse in chapter 10, which we'll get to next week, probably. Daniel has another visitor from heaven in Daniel chapter 10. But in verse 14, the visitor says this, Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. Let me say that again. The angel or visitor or whatever it was in chapter 10 that appeared to Daniel said this, that he was sent to the prophet to give him understanding about the events that would happen to his people, the people of Israel, in the latter days. That is the topic, the subject of this book. God's revelation to the prophet Daniel about the future history of the nation of Israel. Again, that's what prophecy is, or at least a portion of prophecy, is telling the future. Daniel lived hundreds of years before Christ, but he accurately foretold events that were future to him. His prophecies and predictions were so accurate that scholars that don't believe in God will try to say that the book of Daniel was written after events took place. Again, Daniel was so accurate in his predictions that that is the best attack that those that hate God think they can make, that he's just a historian writing after the fact, and not a man sent from God. But I want to say it again. The book of Daniel addresses God's people, Israel, and shows him what will happen to the people of God, again, the nation of Israel, what will happen in the future. Most of what he talked about has come to pass. Those that study history can look at the things that we know from history and correlate them exactly with what the book of Daniel says. And again, Daniel is giving prophecy. He's telling the future. And as events come to pass, we see that he was 100% right. Another well-known prophet is Nostradamus. Nostradamus lived some time ago, and he also proclaimed the future. But time and again, he is found to have been incorrect. Nostradamus said a lot of things, and once or twice he's gotten things right, but for the most part he's been wrong. I don't know his motivation, I don't know anything about the man, really, but he's a false prophet. He told the future, and it did not come to pass the way he said. And the Old Testament is plain that if you predict the future and claim to speak from God or something of that nature, and you're wrong, then God must not have spoken through you. And you are in fact a false prophet. But as we see in our study today, Daniel the prophet was 100% accurate. I want to say that again. In the passage that we're going to study today, Daniel made a prediction. And of course, he merely wrote down what Gabriel said. But in his book, he makes a prediction. And that prediction was fulfilled exactly. He made a prediction and gave a time for its fulfillment. And it was fulfilled exactly as he said, and to the day. Let's pick it up at verse 24. And again, Daniel had been praying in this 9th chapter of his book, and the angel Gabriel interrupts him and tells Daniel that in an answer to prayer, he was sent by God to give Daniel understanding. And this is the angel Gabriel's message. In verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And I want to stop there, but the passage goes on, and I'll get to it in a second. Again, remembering chapter 10, verse 14, now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. Gabriel says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. 70 weeks are determined. What's that? A little bit over a year? What does that mean? Well, if you read it that way, it doesn't mean very much. But in Hebrew, the word weeks means periods of 7. 70 sevens. And as we study the Word of God, many scholars have agreed that a week in this case is not a week of days, a normal Sunday through Saturday, but it's a week of years, 70 blocks of 7 years, 70 7-year periods, 70 weeks, or 490 years. 490 years are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. And the obvious question is, well, preacher, how do you know that that's what it means? How do you know that a week isn't a week of days, but instead a week of years? Well, in the next few verses, it becomes crystal clear that weeks are symbolic of years, a block of years, and not a block of days. He says in verse 24, 490 years are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. But look at what he says these 490 years are for: to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. I'm a preacher of the gospel. That's what I am. That's what I do. I preach the gospel, the good news, that God sent His Son out of His great love for mankind. And Jesus, being born of a virgin, performed many miracles, preached many fine sermons, healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons, confronted the Pharisees, etc. But God's Son was sent to this earth not for the miracles, not for the Sermon on the Mount, not to turn water into wine, not to walk on the water. But Jesus, God's Son, was sent to this earth to die on the cross for the sins of the world. And if we trust in Him, and you've heard me tell this many times, that God will forgive our sins if we trust in Christ. And He will bring us to heaven one day, again, if we trust in Christ. That's the good news. Christ came into the world to forgive sinners. He said that the well, or the healthy, have no need of a physician. Healthy people have no need of a doctor. But the sick, they're the ones that need a doctor. The sick need a physician. Mankind is sick. We have a sickness called sin. It's genetic. We're all born with a sin nature. And I've preached it before, and your pastor has preached it, that in Genesis chapter 3, there was the great fall. And from Adam and Eve, we all spring. But Adam and Eve fell into sin. But these 70 weeks, this 490-year period, that's determined upon the people of God and Jerusalem, they're determined to finish transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. That's what Jesus came here to do. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and thy holy city to bring Jesus Christ into the world, for Him to die for the sins of mankind. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! 70 weeks are determined, Daniel. And at the end of 490 years, it'll all be over, he said, to seal up the vision and prophecy. Hallelujah! Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. 490 years, and it'll all be over. Christ will have come, died for the sins of the world, and bring in everlasting righteousness, to set up His kingdom which shall not be destroyed, as we studied in chapter 2, that great stone from heaven, the one made without hands. In other words, that salvation is heaven-sent, and no man can earn it. It's a free gift, and we can't deserve it. But that stone, Christ, comes from heaven, and it says it smote that image upon the feet, and it all crumbled down and was pulverized, that entire statue pulverized. And again, that image, that statue, symbolized the kingdoms of the world throughout history, those that persecuted Israel and what have you. But a great wind came, it says, and blew the chaff away, that dust, that pulverized dust, the chaff. It blew it away. Then that stone from heaven increased in size, it says, and filled the whole earth. That's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And I preached it that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth. Jesus Christ is coming back to earth. He came the first time to deal with your sin, but He's coming the second time to judge the world. And we all need to be ready for that great day. But I said a bit ago that Daniel's prophecy, which is given here, was exact, and it was fulfilled to the day. Now, you may say, well, I don't understand. 490 years from before the time of Christ, that's come and gone. Where's Christ? Doesn't it say that He would come to set up everlasting righteousness? Then where's Christ? I mean, He came the first time, we understand, but where's the second coming? The second coming of Christ is mentioned beginning in verse 27, and that's known as the period of Daniel's 70th week. But in verse 25 it says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks." 7 weeks and 62 weeks. We know 60 is 60, and 2 is 62. And another 7 is 69. There were 70 weeks determined, but 69 of them are counted here. And there's another week, another 7 years also. But Gabriel counts up 69 weeks, or 483 years. From the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 69 weeks, or 483 years. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, and I know that we're running out of time, I'll have to hurry through it. But the king asks Nehemiah, "Why are you so sad?" And in verse 4, "Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven," Nehemiah said. "And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant hath found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldst send me into Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchre, that I may build it." And we read in this chapter that the king said, "Okay, I'll do it." The king gave letters to Daniel and sent him to Jerusalem to begin to build the city again. But we just read in Daniel chapter 9 that Gabriel the angel prophesied that 483 years from the commandment to build and restore Jerusalem, which this commandment was given here in Nehemiah chapter 2, 483 years after that commandment, Messiah the Prince would appear. In the Gospels you read that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. And history tells us that 483 years prior to Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, this commandment here in Nehemiah chapter 2, to restore and to build Jerusalem, was given. And in fact, it was in the same month of the same year, and even on the same day. Many people will scoff at the Bible, and especially Bible prophecy. But we see in this chapter, Daniel chapter 9, that Christ's coming, His first coming, and His entry into the temple, mere days before His death, was predicted to the day. And that prediction was fulfilled completely, 100%. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.